What a dramatic story. Elijah on Mount Carmel. One man standing by one altar, 450 of one kind of prophet, and another 400 of another kind of prophet standing by the other altar. And Elijah says, go ahead, go ahead. And those 850 prophets cry out to their God. Of course, their God doesn't exist. And they cried out, please send fire. And nothing happened. And they shouted more loudly. They jumped around. They even got on top of their altar. Nothing happened. They pulled out knives to cut their skin. And nothing happened. Hours and hours and hours went by with who knows how many people standing there watching. And Elijah was patient. He was very patient. And the day wore on. And finally Elijah said, okay, enough, enough. You've had your chance. Now it's my turn. He added water. He made it harder for everything to burn. But that wasn't the key. He prayed simply. And God sent fire. I'm often told that every religion is the same. All religions are the same. Did you read the story? Did you pay attention? You had two kinds of religions there, and they were not the same. The attitude of the prophets on one side and on the other were very different. What they said, what they did were very different. And the results were very different. And the people watching saw Jehovah. He is God. Baal is not a God. Now I hear people frequently say to me, all religions are the same. And I thought, how can they say that? I'm a Christian. Most people around me are not Christians. And our faiths are very different. How can they say that all religions are the same? And then one day I thought, well, what about the folk religions of America? North America, South America, the folk religions of Africa, the folk religions of Europe, the folk religions of Asia, the folk religions of Australia. As I started to think about them, I thought, they are very similar to each other. If you read the Greek myths, if you study North American native ideas, if you live in Taiwan, and you study the folk religion there, you find many parallels. And then I said, now I see why people say that all religions are the same. Because they're looking at the folk religions of each country all around the world. Well, I started to think, how are those religions the same, but how do they all contrast with the Bible? And I came up with many different ways. And I've put them on this sheet of paper that I've given you. And the way I've listed them is in the form of questions. And I purposely have used the forms of questions because I want to give you some ways that you can start conversations with people around you to share your faith. These are not invasive questions. These are not embarrassing questions. And I believe that most people that you know have not thought about them. So they're refreshing questions. Let's start with the first question I've put here. Is the universe greater or smaller than God? If you ask another person and you wait and listen to his answer, you might be surprised. In fact, that person might be surprised by his own answer. Have you ever thought about this question? Is the universe greater or is it smaller than God? Whatever God it is that you worship. If you look at the ancient Greek stories, or if you look at the stories that people tell in Taiwan, people will say, well, of course, the universe is greater than God. If you talk about Zeus, or if you talk about Hermes, or if you talk about Qigong, or you talk about other people in Taiwan, these are people who are limited in their abilities. They are called deities, but they are limited in their abilities. And everyone agrees, everyone who believes in these faiths agrees that their gods are smaller than the universe. But as a Christian, let me ask you, what is our faith? We look at the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created everything. God is far greater than our universe. Do you see how that's a totally different concept of who God is? If God is smaller than the universe, and he is limited, and there are only certain things he can do, that changes your whole attitude toward that God. Where if we recognize that our God made everything, and the vastness of our universe is tiny in comparison to him, that changes our whole way that we look at our universe. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is a simple question. If you ever have someone tell you that all faiths are the same, just ask him simply, is your God greater than the universe or smaller? And that can be the beginning of a conversation between you and that person about your faith. Let me give you another question. Did God create man, or did man create God? One time I was riding in a taxi, and the taxi driver corrected me. He said, no, you have to understand something. God did not make man. Man created God. And I live in Taiwan, and I ask people, are there more gods today or fewer? And everyone I ask says, oh, there are more. If you look at Chinese history from the beginning to now, the number of gods increases and increases and increases throughout each dynasty. And you could ask different people from different backgrounds. They will admit, in their faith, there are more and more gods. Where do those come from? Well, from their perspective, they will say that man created those gods. But let me ask you, what do we believe as Christians? Genesis chapter 1 says it so very clearly. God created man. Male and female, he created them. It's very clear that God made you and me. We did not make him. Well, let me continue on with that question and say, can man become God? Or can God become man? One time I was in the police station in Taiwan, and a policeman said to me that he was as great as Jesus. Well, that puzzled me, and I listened. I thought, what does he mean? And I asked him. He said, well, Jesus was so great that he could become God. This policeman was saying that he was equally great. He could become God. Well, I had to correct him. Jesus did not become God. I firmly believe Jesus was God, but what am I saying? He did not become God. He already was God. From eternity past, Jesus has always been God. But there was a change. God became man. But what this policeman was thinking, he was thinking in the folk religion idea, oh, man can become God. Do you see how those two ideas are totally different? For God to become man is one thing. For man to become God is totally different. And as a Christian, I do not believe that any human being has ever become God or ever will become God. But I firmly believe that Jesus was God and he became man. You see how that's a totally different concept? But in the folk religions, you have this common idea of man becoming God. Another question that is along these lines is, are we the same as God? Notice I'm using the word same. The Bible says that we were created in the image of God. Image does not mean the same. An image of something has a certain level of similarity, but also is essentially different. So we as human beings, we say, we are not God. We as human beings, we say, we are not the same as God. He made us in His image, but that's all we are, an image. We are not the same as God. When I was a child, I read the Greek myths. I thought they were fascinating. But as I read those stories, I had a hard time telling a difference between who was a god and who was a human, because they all did the same things. In folk religion, no matter what country you go to, you see giant similarities from one culture to the next. But then when you read the Bible, you say, this is totally different. God and man are different. In this story, Elijah says, either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. Elijah is saying, your God that you pray to, you think he's like us. But you see, Jehovah God doesn't do any of those things. God doesn't eat. He doesn't get married. He doesn't go to work. He doesn't take a vacation. He does none of those things. He is not human. That's what we do. That's not what he does. Well, let me change to another topic. Are there certain locations that are more special, where the location itself has power, or where a certain God has power? As you travel around the world, you find people who are going on pilgrimage. Why are they going on pilgrimage? They leave their home, they go to another location, and they say, here it's powerful. Here the water will heal me, or the energy in this area will give me strength. Or they think that in the temple of their God has more power. Far away from the temple of the God has less power. That's what they're thinking. But what do we believe as Christians? We know that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. I like to travel, and I've heard of other people going on pilgrimage. And so many years ago, I said to myself, I would like to go on pilgrimage. And then I started thinking, where would I go? I live in Taiwan. Where in the whole world is God closer to humans than he is in Taiwan? No place. Where in this whole earth does God have more power than he does in Taiwan? No place. There is no place I can go where God is closer to me than he is right here. There is no place that I can go where God is farther from me than where I am right now. There's no place in the world that has spiritual energy or spiritual power. Places do not have power. God has power. And so I've never been on pilgrimage. And I never will go on pilgrimage, because there is no place in this world where God would be closer to me than he is right now. When we talk, we like to talk about the Holy Land. And I had a teacher many, many years ago. When she was young, she wanted to draw closer to God, so she flew to the Holy Land to get close to God. And I listened to her testimony. And she said, I found that God was the same distance from me there as he was back home. I had a chance to go to the Holy Land one day. Flew there, landed. It was nighttime. I went to a guest house and slept and woke up the next morning and looked outside. It was just dirt. It was just dirt. The land was not special. There was no special energy. There was no special spirituality there. God was there, yes, but he was also in Taiwan. I got on the Sea of Galilee, went on a boat out into the middle, and they said, look around and see everything. And it felt like I was in Taiwan on our lake there called Sun Moon Lake. It was just the same. God is the same distance from us, no matter where we are. And as Christians, we know that whether we're inside these walls or whether we're outside of them, God is equally close to us. Whether we're at work, whether we are at home, whether we're with friends, whether we're with people who don't like us, if we feel afraid or if we feel confident, what is true is God is there with us, equally as if we were anywhere else. You see, folk religion believes that there's a place that's spiritual, and that's why they build their temple there. In Taiwan, often, the way you have temples is first there's a tree that people think a spirit is in, and they hang a red cloth there, and then later they put incense there, and then later they start putting a shrine there, and then later they put a temple there. And then later the tree dies, and there's no tree. And you can ask them, why did you build the temple there? And they'll say, well, because this was a place of spiritual power. Well, let me ask you as Christians, why do we build churches where we do? And what do people say? Well, the land was cheaper. The road was more convenient. These are the reasons why we build a building where we do. There is nothing special about the land. Now, after we build the building, after we meet there, then that place becomes special to us. And maybe we feel different when we walk in. But that's not because the place is special. That's because what we have done there is special. Our faith and folk religion are just the opposite. Well, let's go on to another question. Are idols helpful representations of a god? In many religions, many folk religions, people use idols. And they say it helps us focus our attention on that god. Well, why don't we use idols in Christianity? If an idol helps them focus on their god, why don't we use an idol to help us focus on our God? Well, you see, the Bible asks a very simple question. To what will you compare me? What are we going to use to represent God? We're not going to use an animal because God is not an animal. We're not going to use a human being because we're all limited. God is infinite. We're not going to use a stone or a mountain or even the sun because those things have no life. What can we find in this whole universe that can represent the infinite God? Nothing. And so God has said, don't make any idols of me, because there's nothing that we could use that would give honor to God that would also represent him. But you see, in folk religion, all around the world, people do use idols. Let me tell you a story. You know, in Taiwan, we have typhoons. During the summer months, the storms come off the sea and the rain falls, and there can be all kinds of destruction in certain cases. Well, one year, there was a more severe typhoon, and a man hurried down to the river. The river wasn't too high. He crossed over it, and he went into this temple, and he said to the idols there, I will save you. And he grabbed the big idol, and he started to run back to the river and cross over the river, which kept rising, to go to safety. Well, that idol was heavy. And he was worried that he wouldn't be able to make it back across that river. And it suddenly crossed his mind, wait, I'm in danger. Shouldn't this God be helping me? Why am I helping this God? And he suddenly realized the irony of the situation. And he let loose of that idol and let it go. All those years he was praying to that God to help him. But when the danger came, it was him saving that God. As Christians, we realize there's nothing we can do to help God. He doesn't need money. He doesn't need food. He can do anything. But we need him. And I think it's a little bit embarrassing. Can I be blunt with you? We as human beings stand before God and we recognize our great needs. We have great needs that we cannot fulfill. And we stand there and plead with God and say, would you help us? But do you know what I think is embarrassing? What is a big problem to you and me, to God is a very small problem. There is no problem in your life that you can bring to God and he will say, oh, that's a big problem. Do you realize how big our earth is? Do you realize how large our galaxy is? Do you realize how large this universe is? Every time I learn a little bit more about our universe, and I don't know very much, they tell us things like, well, this is a star that is larger than whatever. And I just can't fathom how large that star would be. And that's only one star that God made. What problem can you bring to God today that is even medium-sized? We worship an infinite God. Here's another question you can ask people. May I use divination? There are people who talk about using divination. They talk about what month you're born in, or they talk about using a certain object to figure out what God wants you to do. They have lucky charms or amulets. Well, God has spoken. May I repeat that? God has spoken. He has given us his word. And yet I find Christians even who walk around saying, I'm so puzzled about God. And what I want to say to them, but I don't want to be rude, have you read the Bible? But I find what is so typical about Christians is Christians will take the Bible and set it aside, and then they will go to God and say, would you answer my prayer? May I remind you, God has spoken. Let's read what he has said and focus on what he has said and stop trying to ask about what he has not said. Can I use some object or say some certain words to influence God's decision? Here's something that I find even among Christians, but especially among folk religionists. They want a certain thing to happen. And so they go to their God and they say certain words or they pay certain money or they offer certain things to get their God to change his mind. And I find some Christians have that attitude also. I want this thing from God. What do I have to do? Pastor, what do I have to do to get this from God? Well, may I tell you something? Our God is a generous God. But he's a good God. And he gives us the best gifts. Why would you want to ask God for something that's not good? And so we as Christians can be bold when we ask God for things. We can ask him for anything. You may ask him for anything you want. But the Bible says, say, only if it's your will, only if it's your will, give it to me. Because we can go to God and say, I would like such and such, if it's your will. If it's not your will, don't give it to me. And our God is a generous God, but our God is a good God, and He only wants to give us what is good. And I find in folk religion, people are doing their best to manipulate their gods to do what they want. We as Christians go to God and say, God, what do you want? I will change and do what you want. It's a completely different idea. Well, let me ask you another question. Is God the highest, or is fate the highest? A lot of people talk about fate. Do you remember in Greek mythology about the three fates? Do you remember them? These three female deities would spin, one would spin the thread, one would measure the thread, one would cut the thread. And even the gods of Mount Olympus could do nothing to change fate. The gods had to admit that fate was above them. But we read the Bible, and the book of Esther is a wonderful illustration that shows that God is above fate. Have you read that story recently? Haman cast lots, right? Poor. He cast lots to find out which day would be the lucky day to kill the Jews. But what happened that day was that God reversed everything, and the enemies of the Jews were killed, and the Jews were saved. And when you read that whole book of Esther, you stand back and say, God is above everything. Fate is not in charge of anything. So we as Christians, we don't talk about our fate. Oh, I have bad fate. I have good fate. What is your fate? Oh, well, it was just fated for me to do that. No. Fate is something that doesn't exist, but even the concept is impersonal. Do you know who determines our lives? A good, kind, caring, personal God. He cares about us and gives us what is good. It brings glory to Him, but it brings benefit to us also. We are not prisoners of fate, servants of fate. I would encourage you to read the book of Esther, the whole book, but also see these verses I have here, chapter 9, 24 to 25, that points specifically at how God overturned fate. Well, let me ask another question. What is the highest power in our environment? If you study folk religion and you ask the people who believe it, they will admit the gods are not the strongest. Have you heard of the concept of feng shui? I've heard that even outside of Eastern Asia, people are now using feng shui when they build buildings. And there's this concept that the location where you put your house, which direction you put your house, how many windows, where you put the door, will affect your life. As Christians, we don't believe this. We don't believe that the environment has power. We believe that God is omnipotent. God has all power. I live in Taiwan, and I'll give you a secret. If you want a less expensive house, buy a flat on the fourth floor. Because the word four in Chinese sounds like death. And so followers of folk religion don't want to live on the fourth floor. Christians live on the fourth floor. And Christians pay less for their houses. Because Christians know We are not controlled by our environment. We rest in the omnipotence of God. Do you see the contrast between these ideas? Let me ask you another question. Are there certain special days, special times? People like to ask me, what is my zodiac sign? And I'm a Christian. You know I'm a Christian. And so I like to snicker at the whole idea of zodiac. Do you know why? In my specific case, I didn't choose the day I was born. I was born December 22nd. And ever since I can read, I've always looked up what my zodiac sign is. One book will say that I was born in Sagittarius, and that because that goes until the 22nd of December, and Capricorn starts on the 23rd. But other books will say Sagittarius goes to the 21st and Capricorn begins the 22nd. I didn't write those books and I didn't choose the day of my birth, but the people who believe in the zodiac can't even decide what my sign is. According to the Chinese zodiac, both of my brothers were born in the year of the pig. They're 12 years apart. I've known both of them for years and years and years, and their lives are different. They are not ruled by the same sign, let me tell you. Even though they are both born in the year of the pig, what happens to them is very different. I do not believe in any country's zodiac. I don't believe there is such a time as a lucky time. I believe God is in charge of all days. Now, yes, in Christianity, we have special days, don't we? We celebrate Christmas, right? But we as Christians know. We celebrate Christmas on December 25th. And then we all snicker up our sleeves because we all know Jesus wasn't born that day. It's not a special day. The day itself is not special. We observe it. We make it a special day. But that time is not lucky. What is another holiday that we celebrate? Easter, right? Do you know how to figure Easter every year? I'll tell you how I figure Easter every year. I go to Google and I type in Easter 2018. Aha, that's the date. And I'm really a bit afraid to tell you what I think is the way to reckon it because I might be wrong. It's something like after the vernal equinox, you go to the first new moon and then the first Sunday or something like that. Don't listen to me. I don't know. But what I did put on this paper, I looked up the real way that people use to figure Easter. And there's this program. You know, equal floor, 5 day, minute, all this stuff. I can't even understand the formula. How can I figure out what Easter is? But you know, as a Christian, we really don't care which day of the year we celebrate Easter, right? It really doesn't matter to us. Because we as Christians, why do we worship on Sunday? We celebrate on Sunday every week because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. In reality, we don't celebrate Easter once a year. We celebrate Easter 52 times a year. There's something that's also very different between folk religion and Christianity, and that's love. Let me ask you, did the Greek gods love each other? What a mess. They didn't love each other. Well, let me ask you another question. Did the Greek gods love the Greeks? That never crossed anybody's mind. But let me ask you, does God love us? What a totally different faith we have. God loves us, and the number one thing He wants from us is to love Him back. That is totally different from folk religion. Now, I have several different motives in sharing this with you. Number one, I want to emphasize that we serve an infinite God. I want you to think about how infinite God is. He's not a small God. He's not a limited God. He is infinite in all ways. But there's another reason. I want you to use these questions as you share your faith. How do you start a conversation about faith? Ask the other person a question like this. And maybe he's never thought about it. Maybe he never has thought about this. And after he shares his idea, you share your idea, and you'll find how different you are. But there's another reason. Friday, I went to St. Albans. And I went to the cathedral there. And I went to the gift shop. And I noticed what they were selling. Little glass angels. And they called them guardian angels. This is a church building where lots of the people that come there are Christians. And they're selling a little glass angel that they call a guardian angel. Does an object have power? No. Does a Christian need an object to put into his pocket to protect him? No. But what I'm trying to say to you is, these ideas from folk religion are leaking into Christianity. And so you have Christians. You have Christians. They forget that our God is greater than our universe. And their lives are filled with worry. Their lives are filled with fear. What will happen in the future? What if? Okay, stop. Rest in the infinite God. You have Christians who create their own ideas about God. Well, I think God is this way. No, that's you creating your own image of God. Read the Bible and find out what He's like. He will surprise you. Remember, He made you. You didn't make Him. There are Christians who think, like my teacher did, that there are certain locations that have more power. I think I'm going to go there because I'll be closer to God there. No, you don't need to. There are Christians who use idols. There are Christians who use divination. There are Christians who believe in fate. We should not. There are Christians who want to learn about the environment and how it can change their lives. No, God is in charge of everything. And there are Christians who are caught up with certain times or lucky numbers or lucky things. No, none of that is of any value to us. And 2 days ago, what I saw with my own eyes confirms for me that there are people who are letting these folk religion ideas seep into Christianity. What was the difference between the prophets of Baal and Elijah? It's a very simple answer, and I put it in very large letters at the top of the page. The infinite God. That was the difference. Baal, Ashtoreth, these were limited gods. If you read their stories, Baal wanted a house with a window. Where did you get that idea? A house with a window. The God we serve is infinite. He has no needs. And so He can pay attention to us and take care of us. He doesn't need for us to do this or that for Him to satisfy Him in this or that way. No, He loves us, and He is a generous God. He is a caring God. He is a powerful God. And what He wants from us is trust, love, obedience. And we as Christians, the first step in our life of faith is what? Faith. But you find a Christian who's been a Christian 50 years and you ask him, what is your biggest problem? And I think a Christian will say, I'm still learning to trust God. Every day we have these challenges. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Please do not think that our God is someone small. Please do not think that a certain time or a certain place or a certain object will help you overcome a problem. Look to the infinite God who gives, who cares, who does what is best for us, who knows everything and who is everywhere. Look to Him. I hope I haven't tried to accomplish too much in this short time. I hope I've underscored for you who God is, but I hope I've also given you some ways for you to share our faith with other people. Let's pray together. Infinite God, we come before you as very, very limited people. We are tiny on this very small planet. You know the many things we cannot do. We have trouble providing for ourselves. We have trouble staying healthy. We have trouble getting from one place to the next. And we have no solution for death. We are so limited. But we thank you that you are limitless. And you give us our bread every day. You heal us. You protect us. You guard us and guide us. And you have prepared a wonderful future because you have overcome death. Help us as we focus on you today and out into eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.